This is 5 O'Clock Shadow on the Pacifica Radio Network, originating at WBAI. I'm Robert Knight in New York. Today, we hear the controversial address to the Oxford Union, delivered this week by WikiLeaks founder and publisher Julian Assange, relayed by video link on the 218th day of his asylum-seeking refuge inside the Ecuadorian embassy in central London. Assange addressed the Union on the occasion of the 2013 Sam Adams Awards, which also honored such intelligence whistleblowers as Thomas Finger, Colleen Riley, Animek Khan, Anne Wright, Thomas Drake, Jessalyn Radak, and Ray McGovern. Ironically, the Oxford Union's exercise of free speech was delayed for several days after the event, with its live stream and archive being withheld from the public because, as the Union controversially claimed, a full release might, somehow, violate United States copyright laws because of inclusion of the already published so-called collateral murder military video of American helicopter gunships slaughtering Iraqi civilians in 2007 in central Baghdad. The military video was originally obtained and published by WikiLeaks. But Julian Assange's formal address to the Oxford Union has finally been released, and we hear it now.
So I would just firstly like to say congratulations to Tom Finger and a very...
Lie upon a lie, a great injustice. If it works, they won't hesitate to show the technology, even if one of these things. If it works, they won't hesitate to show the technology, even if one of these things. Reality of where we're at, not merely a war of intelligence agencies, but a war of corrupt media, corrupt culture. That war, we have got to understand. People who have appeared on this panel have been involved, sometimes we get that as well, and revealing the truth about important parts of the world, how the world is unfolding, how the world is taking the basis and using. Heroically, in this place, to the historical record of fear, to see. Where is power at work? I don't think power is getting better considered. I mean, enormous cultural power is a great industrial power to craft the network with corporations that interact with companies. Around the world, selling the product to the world. It's the three levels of education. It's the working against that, so it's a different kind of corrupt, powerful organization. The future for the system is so basic. The first part of the system that is allowed one person, three, plus two, to speak every single person to go to the system. To use the greater, there is a war on the court, so that war takes place. Because thinking about the secret agents. And if those secret agents were working on their behalf, that would be possible. I feel impossible that the secret agents are going to be able to do that.
Julian Assange of WikiLeaks, speaking this week by video link to the Oxford Union from the Ecuadorian Embassy in London. WikiLeaks also had a role to play in our next story, reviewing this second anniversary of the so-called Arab Spring. This is 5 O'Clock Shadow. I'm Robert Knight in New York. Meanwhile, Egyptians are marking the second anniversary this week of the Tahrir Square demonstrations of 2011, touted at the time as part of the optimistically titled Arab Spring. Over the weekend, Egyptian workers, populists, and democracy advocates regathered at the Cairo landmark to press once more for genuine reform, rather than the disputed elections that resulted in a legislature dominated by conservative Islamic factions under the general banner of the Muslim Brotherhood, with an executive branch nominally headed by Mohamed Morsi, the U.S.-backed successor to Hosni Mubarak. The current Islamocentric power structure in Egypt stands as an emblem of the law of unintended consequences. 4 years ago, the U.S. State Department attempted to co-opt the legitimate progressive movement in Egypt through government-backed overtures to Egyptian activists through the clandestine and overt operations of the so-called International Alliance for Youth Movements, designed and operated by the United States State Department. 5 O'Clock Shadow conducted a contemporaneous analysis of the interface between the State Department and the Arab Spring as it was unfolding 2 years ago. Today we examine, if not the genesis, the evolution of the current social, political, labor, and economic reform that has been decades in the making, but which was tremendously accelerated in recent weeks with the so-called Facebook revolution in Egypt, promoted by a new generation of digital youth and new channels of social networking. Among the leadership of the loose coalition of Egyptian activists who catalyzed an end to deposed President Hosni Mubarak's 30-year military rule is an organization known as the April 6th Youth Movement. It was formed in the spring of 2008. In support of workers in the Egyptian town of Mahalla, and named for the date of a severe government crackdown on the industrial strikers. April 6th activism, which earned more than 70,000 Facebook pages, attracted the interest of the U.S. Embassy in Cairo, which, as part of its program of so-called public diplomacy, assisted April 6th members in taking part in an international conference on digital activism held in New York City at Columbia University on December 3rd through 5th, 2008. In a secret State Department cable published by WikiLeaks, the United States Ambassador in Cairo met with an April 6th leader to discuss the results of the New York conference that the State Department had facilitated. It was titled the Alliance of Youth Movements. The cable, dated December 30th, 2008, details how today's successful rebellion in Egypt accelerated, and how April 6th vision of regime change just 2 years prior to this year's presidential election turned out to be more accurate than the embassy's skepticism at the time. We now hear this crucial cable in its entirety, but with the participants' names and identities redacted for purposes of privacy.
Secret. Embassy, Cairo. December 30th, 2008. Subject: April 6th, activist on his United States visit, and regime change in Egypt. Paragraph 1. Summary and comment: on December 23rd, April 6th, activist subject X expressed satisfaction with his participation in the December 3rd to 5th Alliance of Youth Movement Summit, and with his subsequent meetings with USG officials, on Capitol Hill, and with think tanks. He described how state security SSIS detained him at the Cairo airport upon his return and confiscated his notes for a summit presentation calling for democratic change in Egypt, and his schedule for his congressional meetings. Subject X contended that the government of Egypt will never undertake significant reform, and therefore, Egyptians need to replace the current regime with a parliamentary democracy. He alleged that several opposition parties and movements have accepted an unwritten plan for democratic transition by 2011. We are doubtful of this claim. Subject X said that although SSIS recently released two April 6th activists, it also arrested three additional group members. We have pressed the MFA for the release of these April 6th activists. April 6th stated goal of replacing the current regime with a parliamentary democracy prior to the 2011 presidential elections is highly unrealistic, and is not supported by the mainstream opposition. End summary and comment. Satisfaction with the summit. Paragraph 2. Subject X expressed satisfaction with a December 3rd to 5th Alliance of Youth Movement Summit in New York, noting that he was able to meet activists from other countries and outline his movement's goals for democratic change in Egypt. He told us that the other activists at the summit were very supportive, and that some even offered to hold public demonstrations in support of Egyptian democracy in their countries, with Subject X as an invited guest. Subject X said he discussed with the other activists how April 6th members could more effectively evade harassment and surveillance from SSIS with technical upgrades, such as consistently alternating computer SIM cards. However, Subject X lamented to us that because most April 6th members do not own computers, this tactic would be impossible to implement. Subject X was appreciative of the successful efforts by the department and the summit organizers to protect his identity at the summit, and told us that his name was never mentioned publicly. A cold welcome home. Paragraph 3. Subject X told us that SSIS detained and searched him at the Cairo airport on December 18th upon his return from the U.S. According to Subject X, SSIS found and confiscated two documents in his luggage, notes for his presentation at the summit that describe April 6th's demands for democratic transition in Egypt, and a schedule of his Capitol Hill meetings. Subject X described how the SSIS officer told him that state security is compiling a file on him, and that the officer's superiors instructed him to file a report on Subject X's most recent activities. Washington meetings and April 6th ideas for regime change. Paragraph 4. Subject X described his Washington appointments as positive, saying that on the Hill he met with Republican Edward Royce, a variety of House staff members, including from the offices of Representative Ross Lederman, Republican from Florida, and Representative Wolf, Republican from Virginia, and with two Senate staffers. Subject X also noted that he met with several think tank members. Subject X said that Representative Wolf's office invited him to speak at a late January congressional hearing on House Resolution 1303 regarding religious and political freedom in Egypt. Subject X told us he is interested in attending, but conceded he is unsure whether he will have the funds to make the trip. He indicated to us that he has not been focusing on his work as a fixer for journalists, due to his preoccupation with his U.S. trip. Paragraph 5. Subject X described how he tried to convince his Washington interlocutors that the USG should pressure the government of Egypt to implement significant reforms by threatening to reveal information about government of Egypt officials' alleged illegal offshore bank accounts. He hoped that the US and the international community would freeze these bank accounts, like the accounts of Zimbabwean President Mugabe's confidants. Subject X said he wants to convince the USG that Mubarak is worse than Mugabe and that the government of Egypt will never accept democratic reform. Subject X asserted that Mubarak derives his legitimacy from US support, and therefore charged the US with being responsible for Mubarak's crimes. He accused NGOs working on political and economic reform of living in a fantasy world, at not recognizing that Mubarak, the head of the snake, must step aside to enable democracy to take root. Paragraph 6. Subject X claimed that several opposition forces, including the WAFD, Nasserite, Karama and Tagam parties, and the Muslim Brotherhood, Kaifaya, and revolutionary socialist movements, have agreed to support an unwritten plan for a transition to a parliamentary democracy, involving a weakened presidency and an empowered prime minister and parliament, before the scheduled 2011 presidential elections. According to Subject X, the opposition is interested in receiving support from the army and the police for a transitional government prior to the 2011 elections. Subject X asserted that this plan is so sensitive it cannot be written down. Comment: we have no information to corroborate that these parties and movements have agreed to the unrealistic plan Subject X has outlined. Per Ref C, Subject X previously told us that this plan was publicly available on the internet. End comment. Paragraph 7. Subject X said that the government of Egypt has recently been cracking down on the April 6th movement by arresting its members. Subject X noted that although SSIS had released Subject Y and Subject Z in the past few days, it had arrested three other members. Note: on December 14, we pressed the MFA for the release of Subject X and Subject X, and on December 28 we asked the MFA for the government of Egypt to release the additional three activists. End note. Subject X conceded that April 6 has no feasible plans for future activities. The group would like to call for another strike on April 6, 2009, but realizes this would be impossible due to SSIS interference, Subject X said. He lamented that the government of Egypt has driven the group's leadership underground, and that one of its leaders, Ahmed Meir, has been in hiding for the past week. Paragraph 8. Comment: Subject X offered no roadmap of concrete steps toward April 6's highly unrealistic goal of replacing the current regime with a parliamentary democracy prior to the 2011 presidential elections. Most opposition parties and independent NGOs work toward achieving tangible, incremental reform within the current political context, even if they may be pessimistic about their chances of success. Subject X's wholesale rejection of such an approach places him outside this mainstream of opposition politicians and activists.
What you just heard was a crucial State Department cable dated December 30, 2008, from the United States Embassy in Cairo. It is of great historical interest because it details the United States State Department's interaction with and interest in the April 6th movement, and the emergence of its plans for a digitally assisted rebellion against the U.S.-supported government of President Hosni Mubarak in Egypt. Some observations. We first note that U.S. government interest in foreign social, political, labor, or human rights organizations, including April 6th, does not by any means invalidate the legitimacy or the authenticity of a movement for democracy, particularly when it is expressing the will and aspirations of its fellow citizens, which have indeed festered in Egypt for decades under the U.S. military and economic domination there. Second, we note that the State Department is neither omnipotent nor omniscient, particularly considering the irony that the April 6th scenario for political coalition and regime change prior to this year's presidential elections in Egypt indeed has come to pass, despite the ambassador's skepticism at the time of that memorandum. Third, your reporter has conducted additional research into the crucial conference that April 6th members attended in December 2008. That would be the so-called Alliance of Youth Movements Conference, held December 3rd through the 5th, 2008, right here in New York City at Columbia University. The U.S. Department of State formed a partnership with organizations such as Facebook, Howcast, MTV, Google, YouTube, AT&T, JetBlue, 360 Media, and the Columbia University Law School in order to launch a global network and empower young people to mobilize against violence and oppression around the world. Here is how the conference itself advertised its proceedings at the time.
One of the core elements of HowCast's involvement in bringing the Alliance of Youth Movements Summit to life is making sure the information presented and discussed over the next few days is available to a global audience. To that end, we've created the Youth Movement Hub at youthmovements.howcast.com. The hub will initially feature content and discussion related to this summit, but over time, it will evolve into a one-stop shop where any youth movement can post content, share best practices, and connect with each other. Interested individuals and organizations can join the hub and create personalized profile pages with details about themselves and links to their own websites. Throughout the summit, we are streaming live coverage of the panels and discussions. This stream is live now and available worldwide. Other elements include a selection of recently produced HowCast videos that provide guidance on starting and running a successful organization, all of which are available with subtitles in several languages. Any member of the hub can upload their own videos as well. We have also created a set of wiki guides, text-based articles that hub members are encouraged to edit collaboratively. Members can also write and upload new wiki guides related to their own experiences. Hub participants can engage and connect with each other via discussion groups. This is a great way to share best practices during the summit and beyond. One of the most important things you'll find at the Hub is the Comprehensive Field Manual, which provides a detailed roadmap for starting, recruiting for, and successfully running a youth movement. The Field Manual also features case studies and insights from many of the organizations attending the summit. It is available online and for download as a PDF file. The Field Manual will be updated after the summit based on the discussions and best practices shared over the next few days. All participants are encouraged to edit the wiki guides featured in the Field Manual. You'll find links to these guides throughout the document. We thank you for participating in this week's historic summit, and we encourage all of you to make the most of the Youth Movement Hub today, tomorrow, and beyond.
The actual sound of the promotional announcement for the Alliance of Youth Movements Summit held at Columbia University with the cooperation of institutions including the U.S. State Department, the International Republican Institute, the National Endowment for Democracy, Radio Sawa, that is the United States-produced radio station that U.S. diplomats attempted time and again to coerce the Egyptian government into broadcasting as an FM station inside Egypt. They even threatened to take away $275 million in U.S. aid to Egypt unless the U.S.-produced radio station were to be broadcast there. But Egyptian officials at the time did refuse. This is Pacifica Radio Network. I'm Robert Knight in New York. Also involved in the conference was Freedom House. And we have found a portion of the proceedings of that Alliance for Youth Movements conference in which a young Egyptian sought digital assistance during one of the conference's satellite panels.
Part of the point of this summit is to give them tools and access to your knowledge and help them grow to become delegates. Okay, and keep spreading this. Go ahead.
At Freedom House, we have a program for new media starting in Egypt very soon. And so far, we have not developed a real work plan to implement the program. But it includes basically sending experts to train local activists in Egypt on using some of the new media, including Facebook campaigning, SMS campaigning. And I was wondering if any of you, the organizations here, will be willing to help sending trainers or volunteering to go to Egypt for 2 weeks within the next year. So that's my first question.
I might be able to help you. We don't have capacity ourselves with volunteers. We're learning as we're doing. But I ran into these guys called Tactical Tech. They
basically... One of the interludes of the December 3rd through 5th, 2008 conference of the Alliance of Youth Movements, an international symposium on digitizing the revolution, as it were, that was held at Columbia University in New York City. Today, 2 years later, the April 6th movement has forged a wide coalition of Egyptian representatives of labor, human rights, feminism, economic justice, and other essential issues, including elements of the army, including the recently returned expatriate Mohamed El-Baradei, and even eventually winning the reluctant endorsement of the Muslim Brothers, the Muslim Brotherhood movement within the government-dominant National Democratic Party parliament that was dissolved by the army. The internal operation of people power in Egypt was, of course, augmented with tweets, social networking, Facebooking, and cell phone communications to such a successful extent that in the waning days of the Mubarak regime, Egyptian authorities, in what may be a globally unprecedented move, actually shut down the Egyptian internet in order to thwart the escalating digitally augmented rebellion. While the future of Egyptian reform remains arduous and uncertain, the saga of the internet-assisted rebellion by the people of Egypt reveals another truth that may be relevant to American citizens. That the United States government is seeking its own means to have control of access to the internet, and also that its various agencies may be engaged in less than obvious strategies to, if not subvert, at least maintain contact with both their client regimes abroad, as well as the local dissidents abroad, so as to have more than one option in the event of unforeseen developments. At the Alliance of Youth Movements Summit Conference, Columbia University host and professor Matthew Waxman, who is himself also an alumnus of Foggy Bottom, summed up that strategy during the summit's welcoming address.
As an institution dedicated to the study and promotion of the rule of law, we at Columbia Law School are thrilled to be part of this important and groundbreaking event. This is especially exciting for me because my involvement with this issue began well before I joined the faculty at the beginning of this year. In early 2007, I was serving as acting director of the State Department's policy planning staff, or the Secretary of State's think tank, and I assembled a team of experts in diverse subjects to come together and think about the future of United States public diplomacy and the relationship between the United States government and civil society organizations abroad. At that time, most of that policy discussion within the U.S. government was about long-standing bureaucratic structures dispersing grants to established organizations. The government had begun to use new forms of communication to reach target audiences with its messages. But the idea of engaging the world's youth, and especially doing so through Facebook, MTV, Howcast, and YouTube, was more likely to be met with giggles than serious consideration in the State Department's halls. A young member of my staff, Jared Cohen, fresh out of graduate school, and I tried to think creatively about experimental initiatives that would leverage online, mobile, and digital media to provide alternatives for young people that would challenge the violent extremist exploitation of youth. Over the next year and a half, I've watched attitudes inside the government shift, and those giggles have slowly been replaced with respect for the power of new forms of communication and media, especially those in the hands of the world's youth. Several factors drove this shift. One was, just as some of our experimental ideas were moving forward within the government, political events here at home, including YouTube presidential debates, Facebook political organizing, and online fundraising and political mobilization efforts, helped convince even those who didn't understand why digital media was popular that it could be used as a tool for youth empowerment. Another factor was the amazing example set by a 12 million person protest against the FARC, the largest protest against a terror organization in history, in early 2008, organized over Facebook. We had seen that extremist groups, including terrorist organizations, have proven very skilled at using new communication techniques, technologies, and media to further their causes. But now these technologies were being used successfully in countries around the world to mobilize groups to oppose violence and oppression, helping once powerless groups to take on those who threaten their freedom. A third factor was the energy and vision brought by Undersecretary of State for Public Diplomacy and Public Affairs Jim Glassman when he took the reins of the State Department's efforts to harness new media and compete better in a global battle of ideas. Jim Glassman added new thinking, resources, and leadership to the efforts Jared and I and others had been sketching out on a whiteboard in my office. Looking ahead, we can now talk realistically about promoting rule of law and democratic governance through new media. We can now envision supporting and collaborating with a new wave of civil society, one that is online-driven, transnational, and youth-oriented. This Alliance of Youth Movement Summit is, first and foremost, an opportunity to support the groups participating and those organizations that may learn from their experience. But it's also an opportunity to demonstrate the power of new technologies and communication media, and of new forms of public-private partnership combining the government, the private sector, academia, and civil society spanning borders and oceans, online and offline. Those of us who teach and study law need to understand how communication technologies are transforming politics both at home and abroad, especially how those technologies might empower those seeking political and legal change when the political deck has been stacked against them. As an institution dedicated to the study and promotion of justice, liberty, and the rule of law, we at Columbia Law School are proud to be part of this event and the broader phenomena it represents.
Columbia Law Professor and State Department veteran Matthew Waxman speaking at the December 2008 Alliance for Youth Movement Summit held at Columbia Law School here in New York City. And that concludes our special report today on Egypt and environs. This is the Pacifica Radio Network. Thanks for production of today's show for our engineer, Michael G. Haskins, also Kathy Davis, Tony Bates, Bertold Reimers, and Jim Dingman, and the listener supporters of Public Radio. In New York, I'm Robert Knight for the Pacifica Radio Network.
You walk into the room with your pencil in your hand. You see somebody naked and you say, who is that man? You try so hard but you don't understand just what you will say when you get home. Something is happening here, but you don't know what it is, do you, Mr. Jones? You raise up your head and you ask, is this where it is? And somebody points to you and says, it's his. And you say, what's mine? And somebody else says, where what is? And you say, oh my God, am I here all alone? Because something is happening here, but you don't know what it is. Do you, Mr. Jones? Ticket and you go watch the geek who immediately walks up to you when he hears you speak and says, how does it feel to be such a freak? And you say, impossible, as it hands you a bone. Because
that something is happening here, but you don't know what it is. Do you miss a job? You have any contacts among the lumberjacks to get you facts when somebody attacks your imagination? But nobody has any respect. Anyway, they already expect you to just give a check to tax-deductible charity organization. You've been with the professors and have all liked your looks. With great lawyers you have discussed lepers and crooks. Scott Fitzgerald's books, you're very well read, it's well known. Because something is happening here, but you don't.